first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Willow Talk is back. Mark Junior Waugh, Matthew Haydos, Hayden, Graham Swanee Swan. It's Byron Cook over here. Should we play a special song for Swanee?
Yes, let's play it out.
Stand to attention.
We're back.
We are very back, baby.
Oh, I like this one. It's just the French national anthem. I like this one.
One. Okay. There's a lot of tension in the studio today, isn't there? There's that rivalry. It's never been hotter, guys, and this should be a big show.
Oh, this is a big show. What an absolute hiding we've given the Poms at Lord's. Fair
Nick. Oh, here we go. I tell you what, I thought that Junior and Haydos were on sedatives last week. I couldn't hear a word from him, and now...
Well, I'm not sure about that, G-Man.
Sing when you win in. You only sing. Mind you, it's 1-1. It's 1-1. Just remember that.
Yeah, that's as close as you'll get, Swanee. Shut the gate.
I've got the hardest job in the world trying to control all you three for the next 2 hours. Yeah. But look, what we're going to do, we're going to recap the first and second test. I'd imagine that Haydos and Junior will more want to focus on the second test.
Oh, mate, the first test is way under the...
Long gone.
Swanee goes into a lot of detail, I'm sure, on the first test next. And then, this
that's
is what we're hearing.
That's a proper cricket game.
Okay. What we're hearing is in the next 15 minutes or so, Kevin Peterson.
Oh, he's come back to life, has he?
He's going to join the show. He's actually going to join
England.
I thought he was on the beach.
No.
Well, I think he's going to... We're hearing a strong rumour that Kevin Peterson is on this show in the next 15 minutes.
Good.
So stay tuned for that. It's Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Two tests in, three to go. Guys, we want to review that first and second test. Junior, while we're playing that song, said we're not going to talk about the first test, surely. Well, Swanee, no. I mean, we should touch on it because obviously it was a great start for the Poms, but now here we are at 1-1.
Exactly, it's 1-1. And England played wonderfully well in Cardiff and then just took their foot off the gas and let this inferior Australian outfit back into the series. I think it's very good of them, to be honest.
I think we were caught a bit short, as always. Preparation-wise, you can't get a roll on into the series, so I think it's shut the gate, June, now.
Look, I think the big worry... Look, anyone can lose a game, but it's how you lose it. And from my point of view, that was a really...
It's a heartless performance.
It was a terrible performance by England. A real confidence... what's the word?
Damager?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know how they're going to come back
from
that.
I'd say the same in the first one. I've not seen Australia capitulate as heavily as that.
No, we didn't lose that bad, Swanee, did we? Surely
no.
Not.
On a serious point, though, it was the biggest thing for me was the way we bowled and allowed Australia to make a wicket. I mean, it was a flat wicket, but it looked so flat. And then bats so horrifically to make it look like a spitting cobras on a length. That is a bit concerning going on.
Just control, though, isn't
world.
It?
It is, but having seen that pitch, Haydos, having been there and still stood on a crease on the fourth day, still sat like a Buddha halfway down like you used to.
Fondling
on day
the turf,
five,
as Junior would say.
It was incredibly flat. There was nothing wrong with the surface all the way through, and yet in that second innings, England looked... Yeah, it looked like they were batting on...
Their batting was terrible, but I was really stunned at the lack of energy, particularly by James Anderson. Do you think he looked really flat in that Lords game? And Wood might have been carrying an injury, but the bowlers just didn't look like they had anywhere near the same amount of energy. Is that what you reckon, Swanee?
Second innings especially, because they
bowled 150 overs. James Anderson looked like a... I don't know. He just didn't look interested to me, which he can do on occasions.
I'll tell you what may have happened. I'm not saying this did, but at Lords, when you see a real shirt front and you lose the toss, having played there probably 15, 20 times in their careers, those bowlers, even though you're saying, forget about it, yeah, we're bowling, but we can have them five down, subconsciously, I reckon they think, Christ, we're in for the long haul here. And that may have crept into it. At the end of the day, they bowled too short. They bowled 2 yards too short. So even when it was...
But no zip either. Their pace is down.
Exactly. Well, there's no...
Can I summarise this?
Please do, Haydos, please.
This was called motorway cricket. Gentlemen, motorway cricket. We know they're going to go down the motorway at some point, so let's get on it ASP.
Okay, yeah. Right.
That sums it up. That clears up everything.
Yeah, that's good, Haydos.
Did that explain it all for you, Swanee?
Yeah.
Well, Haydos is my captain at Northampton. We played a hell of a lot of motorway cricket. So yeah,
we did.
I know exactly where we did that from.
Oh, wow. Now, guys, there's still this rumour won't go away that Kevin Peterson is joining our show next. Kevin Peterson.
Well, I hope it's more than a rumour. I hope he is.
Well, we're very, very strongly tipped to be on the show next.
Right, well, so, I'll take your word for it.
He's had a lot to say, hasn't he? Jeez,
as usual.
He's a tweet-a-thon.
Yeah. Can we just cover off on one of his tweets before we go? Because we're hoping he's going to join us next. Just read one of them, Haydos.
Deep in thought right now. Ridiculous that I'm lying on a beach when I should be in the UK preparing for the third test. So silly, really. Sad! Exclamation mark, thumbs down. Ooh,
emoji work as well.
Emoji work, yes.
Ooh, all right, so is he on the beach or will he be here in the studio? We reckon he'll be in the studio next on Willow Talk. Willow Talk, Graham Swan is touring with the Ashes. He'll be going everywhere the cricket takes him. And in our Australian studios, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh. Now, we were hoping for Kevin Peterson. Well, at least we thought Kevin Peterson might join us on the show. He's
Hi guys.
Hang on.
Is anybody there?
He's here.
Hello?
Kevin Peterson. It's Kevin Peterson, guys.
How's it, chaps? I'm so, so happy to be here with you right now. I look great at the moment. I've got new tattoos and they're shining beautifully in the sunshine. I feel awesome.
Okay, just quickly, Haydos, I know Kevin has been tweeting quite prolifically. Have you got a couple of his tweets there, mate?
Well, I've got this beauty, and then I've got a question on the back of it for KP. Batting as well as ever, and the team have huge issues with top order. What a waste. Just lying on the beach, I wish I could help. And then the muscle sign, the bicep curl emotive. So mate, why aren't you playing for Surrey if you think you're, you know, top shelf and going for it? What's the problem?
Well, the thing is that Kevin has to go all over the world to create massive awareness of how good he is. And I played for Surrey. I was told to average highly, and I averaged 150 in my time at the bottom half of Division 2. And sure, one of my innings was 350 not out. And apart from that, my high score was 12. But that shows that KP is a big player, a big-time player. And the bicep curl is because I'm beautiful. Actually, Matt Hayden, not a lot of people know this, but he called me Fig Jam, and it was the nicest nickname because what it means is, flip, I'm good, just ask Matty. And everyone, they just showed that how high the regard for me was with Matt Hayden. What an awesome guy.
So Kev, this next tweet here, so silly, thumbs down emotive. What's that all about?
Well, I like to repeat myself because I sound so good when I say some words, like so silly.
Right.
Well, I might say that again. It sounds great. I can't remember the question, but let me tell you that I scored 25 last night off 3 balls, and it may sound impossible, which it is for most guys, but not for me.
Hey, KP Junior here, mate. Seriously, did you watch the test match? Obviously you did. What did you make of the English batting? What are they going to do to improve apart from getting you back in the team? Is there something they can work on that top order?
I didn't actually watch the test match. One of my people told me the scores. What I was doing was having a net, and I was hitting it really nicely and striking it nicely, so nicely. And I think it's a matter of time before I'm back in the side, because I'm so ready to play.
Right. Have you got any form at all on the board, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. Haydos, I scored 200 against a team who hadn't won for 3 years. It doesn't matter, because no matter who KP bats against, he will score.
Where was that, KP? Where was it?
It was a practice game in St. Lucia, but it doesn't matter. No, those guys bowling were awesome, and they had to have a day off school to play, but they bowled well. Listen, I am ready at any stage to come back to play for my country, or England, if they ask as well.
Just quickly, what do you think of Graham Swan as a bloke?
I never met anyone called Graham Swan at all.
There goes Kevin Peterson, ladies and gentlemen.
I deny that happened.
He wasn't one of your favourite teammates? Who was? Who did you enjoy playing with in England?
Surely Warnie would have been mentioning hi there.
Kevin Peterson enjoyed playing with Kevin Peterson. He was an awesome team guy. Been a great golfer.
Okay, all right. I think we might have had enough here, guys.
See you, Kev.
Thanks so all much, right, Kev. We'll let you get back to your schedule there. Kevin Peterson on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, and Graham Swan in our UK studios. It is time for Stump Junior. This is where Swanee is armed with cricket trivia questions. Mark Waugh attempts to answer them, and Matthew Hayden just laughs at the whole thing. Here we go.
The cynic inside me says you're going to get 3 out of 5 again, Junior, so we might as well just crack on, I reckon. Number one.
Just lock it in.
You can probably work this out even if you don't know it, but what did Sir Ian Botham forget once when he walked out to bat after a heavy night out with his teammates?
Ooh, well, when you go out to bat, there's a couple of things you could forget if you weren't drunk. I mean, you could forget your box or
have your thigh pad, maybe. Have you ever done that?
I have forgot my box, yes.
Ooh.
Yep. You could forget maybe your arm guard, maybe your gloves. Sometimes you just walk out with your gloves, you don't have a monster.
Drop a glove,
so
maybe.
I would expect that, but that's too simple, so it's obviously not any of those. I reckon it's his bat. No. I reckon he has walked out without the old blade.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, he's correct.
Thank you.
He's one from one, and if you've never listened to this before,
That is a bit embarrassing, though, isn't it? Walking out without your bat.
How the hell do you do that?
That's hungover, wasn't he, Swanee, apparently?
Do you remember a guy called Peter Such?
Suchet, I play with him.
He got Junior out a few times in test matches. But
For about 300.
No, I didn't get 300.
Ding, ding, ding. 300.
Yeah, what about Suchy? What about him?
But he was the worst batsman in the world and the most nervous man. One of the nicest blokes in the world, but he used to sit at the top of the steps at Essex, so nervous, but fully kitted up, helmet on and everything. And this one day, a wicket fell, and he just jumped up, ran down the stairs, and got all the way to the middle, went to take guard, and didn't have a bat in his hands. Oh,
yeah. It jogged
out to the middle.
Yeah, I actually played with Suchy. I didn't play in that game, but okay. I did play with Suchy.
Here we go. Question 2, Junior, currently sitting on 1 from 1. In the past 3 weeks, he's gone 3 from 5.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen again. How many times, Junior, has England completed a clean sweep or whitewash of Australia in Ashes history?
I wouldn't have thought it was too often. I'd say Australia would have done it a few more times than England. I would say it's around 0, 1, or 2. I'll say 2.
Final answer?
Well, 2. Well, it's obviously wrong. I'll change it to 1. 1.
Just to fit in with this rig, buddy. This conspiracy theory here.
I'm going to get 1.
Seriously.
If you can tell me how many times the Aussies do it, I'll give you the actual point. But otherwise, you're going to get
chocolate.
I'd say about 8.
Swanee, what's the answer? You're not going to get a job as a game show host anytime soon.
No, it feels like 8.
England have done it once in 1886, and the Aussies have done it 400% more times.
1886, not even Dracula witnessed that.
Yeah.
Technically correct with his second answer. He's 2 from 2.
Thank you.
Question three. Which English player was out for 99 at Lords in 1993 and never went on to score a test century there in his entire career?
Well, this is an easy one because I actually spoke about it last week, some of the things I've seen at
listening.
Lords. Now, I've made a 99 at Lords, but it is Mike Atherton. He was unfortunately run out when he clipped one off his legs and went out to deep square leg. Murphy's trotted around in a slow canter.
No, he was putting in.
He was still going slow.
He ran in a parabola, remember?
Yeah, the parabola. Yeah,
parabola. He didn't take the straight line. He ran around the boundary. And Gat was batting. Mike Gatting was batting with Athers, and there was a bit of confusion about the third run, which would have got Athers his ton. And unfortunately, Gat sent Athers back. He slipped arse over tit and got run out.
And Gat would not have made it either. So he did the right thing. I would have sent you back, no problems.
Gat just kept on running towards the nursery ground where all the food concession stands are.
All right, Swanee, he's 3 from 3. This could be his first clean sweep. Here we go.
I'm going well here.
In 2006, the Barmy Army's trumpeter, Billy Cooper, was ejected from the Gabba and arrested for playing which TV theme?
I'd imagine it would have been an Aussie show. Aussie sort of show he would have been playing the theme to. I reckon it was Neighbours.
Oh, beautiful.
He's got 4 from 4. The man's on fire.
I'm actually enjoying this week.
They loved Neighbours, didn't they, the Poms?
They loved it, yeah. Good call.
Even Swanee would have watched Neighbours.
Intelligent for you, that.
Oh. Yeah. Why was he arrested, though, Swanee? What was the problem?
Because I believe at the Gabba, you're not allowed any musical instruments. You just have to shout out feral he Australian chants. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Guy, you bronco.
Bit of lip.
Okay.
Straight in the back of the divvy van he would have gone.
I'm going to rip your flesh off with my teeth, you muck.
All right. This this
and that was the member of parliament. Was that
Headingley? No, it wasn't Headingley.
This would be for the first ever clean sweep on Stump Junior. A lot rides on this final question, Swanee.
Where's the drum? Okay. There's a drum roll. No,
here it is.
I'll give you a drum roll.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is Australia's lowest test match score?
Oh, you are kidding. Have not got a clue. No,
I have a guess.
No idea. Give me some ideas. Is it between 0 and 50 or 50 and 100?
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Initially,
you were spot on.
Oh, it's between 0 and 50, so I'm a 50 to 1 hope of getting 5 out of 5 here.
It's like a day at the races for Junior.
Yeah. Not many 50 to 1.
It's real roulette, this.
Is it in the third quadrant of the roulette world or the first or second?
Get on with it, mate.
It's between 24 and 36.
You might want to say it's all three quadrants.
No, I've got no idea. I'll say 43.
Got him, yes. No.
Incorrect. 4 from 5. What was it, Swanee?
36. Hence, all three sections.
Wasn't far away.
Now, that was in 1902 against England, funnily enough. 1902.
I thought it was against England.
I'll just check there that you did say, is it during the first, second, or third quadrant of a roulette board? A quadrant is four.
What casino is Junior at?
A quadrant, yeah.
Anyway, there we go. There's 4 from 5. Seriously, that gets the encouragement award. Well done,
Mark
Waugh.
Thank you.
That's an 80%.
Nice performance.
Brilliant.
It was, thank you.
Stump Junior is back on Willow Talk, same time next week. And coming up next, tell me something we didn't know, where these three tell us a story, where as cricket fans we just go, wow, we can't believe you just shared that with us. Whoever shares the deepest, darkest secret
will win.
Is the carryover champion. That's next on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. I, Byron Cook, the anchorman for this show, will choose the best story here. It's Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. All three of you, you play plenty of international cricket, and us fans, we love you to take us behind the scenes. Tell us a story that we go, oh my God, I never knew that. Whoever shares the deepest story that makes us go, wow, I can't believe he shared that with everybody, is the carryover champion for the week. Mate, and I think we should start with Junior.
You're putting the pressure on, mate. This is going to have to be good, and I'm not sure it is. But anyway, mine
say that every week.
Mine is not an international tour or anything. Mine is my actual first class, my first class game. So representing New South Wales in Tasmania, actually, against Hobart at the old TCA ground, which was up on the... near Mount Wellington was always freezing.
Would have been a good
attack as well. Winston Davis, I think, might have been playing for Tasmania. But I was rooming with Mark Taylor, and it was his first game as well. So we're both debuting for New South Wales, opening the batting together, rooming together. Yep. It happened to be Tubby Taylor's 21st birthday the night before the game. So we went out for a team dinner, then we went out after and had a few drinks. Not that I was a big drinker. Tubby was a bit of a pisshead, but I wasn't.
tip your mate in, jeez.
Anyway, we had a few drinks and probably just snuck past our curfew at 12 o'clock, got in, went to bed. In those days, of course, we didn't have mobile phones, so you couldn't get your wake-up call on your phone, could you? So you had to rely on the...
The
reception, you had to ring them and organise your wake-up call. So I thought Tubby did it. He thought I did it. Anyway, I'm a good sleeper. I can sleep anywhere, anytime. So with no wake-up call, 9 o'clock, the phone rings. Tubby answers the phone in a bit of a deep sort of half-sleep voice, and it's Bob Simpson.
Oh,
he's our coach, and he's a strict guy, great coach. It's 9 o'clock. He rings up from the ground. Quarter past 9 it was.
Oh, no.
He said, where are you two? And Tubby goes, rack off. Who's this? I don't want some prank call. Hangs up on him.
Oh.
Anyway, I sort of half wake up and say, what's going on? Then the phone rings straight back and Tubby answered again. And this is Bob Simpson, Mark. We're down at the ground. Where are you? So that was our first day in first class cricket.
Wow.
We were both late. And then Bob Simpson went on to hit 3,000 balls at it each morning of that game as punishment. So there's my first game.
But, June, did you get 100?
I did not. No, I got 29 and 16.
Well, I had the ding ready to go because he normally wedges 100 into his
My hands were that sore. I couldn't bat properly.
Tell me Mark Taylor got 100.
No, I don't think he did. No.
He doesn't remember other people's hundreds.
I don't even worry about myself.
Haydos, Junior has opened the batting there. And in fairness, that's a pretty solid start. That's going to be hard to beat. Yeah. What do you got?
Yep. Well, I just wanted to clear up my affection for sitting on the wicket and where that actually came from. So I cop a lot of grief from meditating, that's right, all that stuff. But where it actually first came into play was when I was playing for Queensland, and my brother and I would used to have a net session pretty much during training, and it would go the entire session. So it'd be more or less 3 hours of batting. And at the end of that session, because I didn't feel that was a waste of time, I wanted to get runs.
Well, we could tell that the way exactly. used to catch.
And I used to love a net too, as you boys would say. But look, I used to come back out to the centre of the Gabba and we would literally just fall down on the ground and talk about the game and just talk rubbish because we were just so tired. He'd bowl about 500 balls in a session and I'd smash him as best as I could. But as it went on and he started to move forward in life, he got married, had children, moved up north, and I lost my coach basically. That was sort of my way of reconnecting back into that time. So I'd take myself out in the middle, get a little bit of quiet space around it, and just sit there and think about the game and fondle the turf, as they say.
Wow.
But the thing about it is, because this doesn't have a punchline either. But
like most of his stories.
A strange critter, ain't you?
But McGrath reckoned the only reason why I'd actually do it is to get myself on the back page of the paper with all the sponsors around him, and that was his theory behind it. Complete rubbish. Thought it was a complete waste of time. That
there we go. So we got the background behind it. That's so
I tell you what, though, you can feel a schmaltzy Hollywood movie coming on there, though, can't you? I think Haydos will be played by Kevin Costner. I can see him playing Haydos.
That's like you.
All right. Look, two really solid stories, Swanee. Tell me something we didn't know. It's all about sharing a story and being as personal as you can. It's up for grabs. Yeah. Have you got one for us?
Well, I must admit, I didn't do my homework this week, so I don't think I'm beating
naughty
these
boy.
Boys.
That doesn't surprise us.
But I tell you, if we're talking about... We mentioned Peter Such earlier on, didn't we? The most nervous batsman in the world. Nervous.
Yeah, he
for
was.
Because he was
a rubbish. Gentleman, wasn't he? He's a real gentleman.
Lovely, lovely man. And he's still involved with England. He's the top spin coach for England. He's a lovely man. He's just useless at batting. So he came out to bat one day at Northampton.
Pretty average bowler as well, just quality.
And Hayden's at slip. And he throws in the ball. Can't he? Might finish it off for me, buddy. Dream in. So I thought, you know, how do you bowl at any tail end? You just throw it up, get it above the eye line. You'll go for a swipe, stumped or caught mid-wicket or something. He hit me for the biggest six that's ever been hit in first-class history. I swear to God. This is a guy who used to close his eyes and have a swing. He had the worst Duncan Fernley bat as well in the world. It was like a spirit level.
Big
there was absolutely
thing,
no bow in it whatsoever. Nice. But this ball, I swear to God, this was like Ian Botham batting against Dennis Lilly in 81. It went an absolute country mile.
Wow.
And I never lived it down. So still to this day, the biggest six I've been hit for is by the worst cricketer who's ever played first-class cricket. The worst batsman.
There we go.
Worst cricketer.
There we go. It's more just a spray against Suchy than anything else.
No, anyway. He could bowl. He couldn't bat.
There we go. So that's Swanee's story. I mean, look, and as the judge over here, Byron,
yeah,
the judge.
Come on, Cookie, come
look,
on.
I've got to say, I mean, Swanee's was well told and hilarious, but that is publicly available information. If we search through the archives, we could have found that shot. So, I mean, someone may have known that before. I thought Haydos was very intimate and personal, sharing and the love of the fondling and
still
the turf.
Still got a tear in my eye.
All that stuff. It was emotional.
Lucky Lang wasn't sitting with him.
But you know what? I reckon for telling an honest story about sleeping through your alarm on your first class debut with Mark Taylor, the winner is Junior.
Thank you. Dude. I'm off the mark, you beauty.
Teacher's pet.
Ooh. No, it's his first win, in fairness.
It's my first win. Some I of haven't his stories even been close.
Yeah, up
no,
to this
you've
point.
Been good, though. Yeah, you've been all right.
Ordinary. Anyway, well done. So,
beg your pardon?
Nothing. Jason Gillespie, our special guest, the Aussie who's now coaching in England. What's that about? He is a special guest. That is coming up on Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Another hour on Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. It's Byron over here. Special guest coming up in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Jason Gillespie. Great bloke. The Aussie who's now in England coaching at county level.
Can you believe it? I wouldn't wouldn't have thought he would have been a coach when he was playing, but interesting character, hey, isn't he?
Well,
Big Dizzy?
He's loving the pound, I reckon. That's what he's loving.
A bit of moolah.
Why wouldn't you?
And Swanee, what about his skills impersonating other cricketers?
He's good, isn't he? Oh, very good. Very clever.
Outstanding. Swanee's wrong and is coming up in the next half hour or so, and this is where Swanee will impersonate another cricketer. It'll be up to Haydos and Junior to try and guess who it is. He's that good. It's usually not that hard.
Easy.
That is coming up on Willow Talk. It's Willow Talk with Junior, Haydos and Swanee. Our next guest, 71 tests for Australia, 259 wickets for Australia, but now he's coaching in England. What's going on there? Jason Gillespie is on the line, guys.
Hey, Diz, how you going, mate? It's Haydos.
Very good, mate.
Now, I've got a bone to pick with you right up front here, Diz. Usually we have the Poms starting the word of war.
Oh, wow. Spit it out, Haydos. Spit it out. Come on, you can do this.
Mate, what's the go? Sledging us from the word go. What's going on?
Well, mate, if people actually read articles and read quotes, they'll actually get the gist of what I was on about, Haydos. I remember being asked by a journo, how would you know, Australia are clearly favourites for the series. And, you know, if you were in the England camp, what would you be? How would you be trying to get on top of Australia? And I just thought that, you know, you've just got to make the bowlers bowl long spells, you know, get their batsmen spending a lot of time in the field. And so then that all morphed into the whole Dad's Army quotations. And in the end, it just turned into a bit of a laugh, really. But
you were misquoted. Well, that's all we needed to hear.
He rang me. He wasn't overly happy, but he had a bit of a laugh. It was it was all in good jest.
I had the same thing. I said, I was interviewed and asked, how would you get Steve Smith out? And I said, well, number three in England, it might swing round. He might nick off early. All of a sudden, I'm being slated saying, Steve Smith won't score runs in England. Shoot batting way too high. So I know exactly where you're coming from. It's these Muppets who write the headlines in the press.
Yeah, exactly. The thing I suppose the positive you get out of it is that, you know, our sport is being talked about and debated about, and that's what we want leading into a big series like this.
Hey, Dizzy Junior here, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jim.
Mate, the first two tests, what have you made of them? I mean, obviously, there's got to be a steward's inquiry. Both teams have played poorly, then played exceptionally. What have you made of the first two tests, and what do you think might happen, in the next three?
Yeah, June, as an observer, watching it a bit on telly and, sort of like watching Australia play, but also we've got a few Yorkshire players playing, so I've got a big interest in this series. But what I have noticed is, certainly the first test in Cardiff, I just felt England controlled the game with the ball a lot better than Australia. You know, that good spot on the wicket, you know, good line and length, I think England were much more consistent hitting that area on the pitch than Australia. Australia seemed to, you know, if plan A wasn't working through, you know, not being able to implement skills, they tended to quickly switch to plan B or plan C. And I think this gave the England batsmen momentum. And they played very well. So I think it was just that lack of control with the ball by Australia in the first test. And then we saw a complete role reversal second test. You know, the pitch was good, but that's... for me, that was almost irrelevant because if you saw the pitch maps, we saw almost the opposite of Cardiff, with Australia being much more disciplined with their lines and lengths and challenging the front foot, challenging that front pad and that off stump. And what we saw from England was, you know, just dragging their lengths back too far, giving a bit of width. I think there was a bit of overcomplication of their plans, rather than just that, you know, the old-fashioned discipline line and length. And then Australia was able to capitalise on that. Where it stands going into the third test, I think, you know, both sides are going to be acknowledging that, you know, the key is how they bowl and how consistent they bowl. And then, you know, which batting side is more patient. And I think the team that's, you know, more patient with bat and ball is going to come out on top at Edgbaston.
Dizzy, you sound like a coach there. Mate, can you... that's why they pay you the big
sounds
bucks,
like,
isn't it?
Sounds like a fast bowler. Only mentioned batting once.
Hey, we've got Swanee, obviously, in the UK studio. And Swanee, obviously, with the English making a change to their lineup, I know you're interested from that perspective.
Yeah, I just want to know about Johnny Bairstow, Diz, because he's a good mate of mine, but I noticed the one-day game he played against the South Africans, he's changed his stance, he's changed his setup, and he looks five times a player. A, have you had anything to do with that? And if you have, well done. And B, what's his state of mind going into this test match going to be like?
Look, you're spot on, Swanee. Yes, Johnny has changed his stance. He was experimenting there. I think there was a lot of well-intentioned, well-meaning coaching. He was trying getting a bit lower in his stance, and his hands were lower, and this is where he's probably getting into a bit of trouble. You know, the balls that were coming in from the fast bowlers about armpit height, when your hands are really low below your waist, that can cause you a few dramas. He's gone back to, answer your question, no, I didn't have anything to do with it. I simply said to him, you back yourself and trust the technique that works for you and is most comfortable for you.
She never confessed that.
Talk to you about technique.
Did he get his hands as high as you, Dizzy? Because when you used to bat, you used to block them in front of your nose. You used to get the hands
well,
up.
It's a big nose, June.
Well, so is mine. Sorry.
Stop the ball hitting it somehow.
You used to get those hands up.
How many 200s you scored, June?
I never played Bangladesh, though.
Oh.
I would have got 200 if I played Bangladesh.
Does he get the double ding every time he talks about his 100?
Yeah, there we go. There's the ding. Although you brought up his 100 that time. Junior normally does it himself. Can you hang out for a minute, Dizzy? Because I know we want to come back and talk about a couple of very important things, one being your mullet. So have you got some time to hang out?
No, of course.
I know you're a bit of a hair inspiration to Junior back in the day. So we will get to that and also ask him about his bizarre preparations. Our Flight Centre Question of the Week is all about being prepared. Gee, he had some unusual pre-game rituals, this guy. So we'll get to it right here on Willow Talk. On Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan, Jason Gillespie is our guest on the phone from the UK. 71 tests for Australia, 259 wickets.
Nasty he was.
And now a coach and sounding like a coach in this interview. We had plan A and plan B and plan C. It was fantastic. And he's still on the line, Swanee.
I've got a simple question. The question that everyone has always wanted to know about Jason Gillespie. It's about the mullet, about that hair. I believe, and I've heard rumours about this coming from friends from Lancashire, that it actually held mystical, magical powers, and that is the reason that Yorkshire are now winning games of cricket. Dizzy, is this true? Did that old haircut, do you still retain the magic from it?
I can honestly say, Swanee, no. the mullet was, on reflection, it didn't look brilliant.
That's not true, Dizzy.
It was a grey mullet too early on, wasn't it?
If you do look at me now, my hair's... Well, I asked my kids what colour's daddy's hair, and I'm hoping they'll say sort of dark brown and or even grey, and that they're actually just starting to say, Dad, it's looking pretty white now. So long gone are those days. It's very short now, and it's approaching white.
But, you know, Ryan Sidebottom has suddenly started taking wickets again for Yorkshire, and he has the same massive soul glow curls, so there's got to be something in it.
You've got that soul glow.
He does have shiny hair, Barnett, and the longer he keeps it, the better he bowls, Swanee. So, yeah, we encourage him not to have a haircut, that's for sure.
Dez, is it true you've got some superstitions? Is there any truth to that rumour?
Well, I mean, you might be the one starting these rumours, Hayden. but look, I certainly had routines that you could have bordered on superstition. It was funny; it wasn't until right at the end of my career. And I remember just standing out in the outfield for South Australia. This was long after I finished playing for Oz. And I'm just thinking, Jason, what the heck are you doing? this has no bearing on how you bowl or bat in a game. But, you know, stupid things like making sure I don't take 13 steps to hand my cap to the umpire and...
You realise Punter and I used to count your steps and try and actually get you on the 13th?
Yeah, I was well aware of that. And then you guys would catch me out skipping to make sure I got my extra step in.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about preparation. Bizarre. Obviously, thanks to Flight Centre. Be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. We've been asking all different players and coaches about their quirky preparation habits. I mean, your brother Steve had a few famous ones, but Dizzy, I mean, he's got a lot.
I remember rooming with Dizzy in India for 2 weeks, and I don't know if this is superstition or just repetition or being an idiot, but you had the same meal every day. a plain omelette and a very cold Coke. Have you changed it all, Dizzy?
I've certainly changed.
Do you remember that?
My palate's very... I do remember it,
June. A plain omelette and a very cold Coke.
Yeah. I mean, dude, my theory was very simple. I I struggled with any sort of hot food, and I was so worried and I was so concerned about getting ill and not being able to go out and play that I didn't want to take any chance of getting a dodgy belly. So I just thought I'll stick to the absolute staples and I'll get through. So that was the theory behind that.
Well, we appreciate your time, Jason Gillespie, currently in Leeds with the kids, a busy man. Appreciate you talking to us on Willow Talk, mate. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Diz.
Good on you, mate.
And coming up on Willow Talk, Swanee's Wrongin'. Which cricket personality will he impersonate this week? And will Haydos and Junior guess it correctly? That is next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk, Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan in the UK. Swanee's Wrongin', it's that time of week again where Swanee...
Love this, don't we?
Yeah, he impersonates a cricketer and you two have to try and guess. And sometimes you guess pretty early, but we just continue to talk to this personality. And I believe Graham Swan has left the building and his good friend has just stepped in.
That's right, he has left. I've kicked him out because he has no place sharing a studio with me. Absolute disgusting, that lad. 255 test wickets, walked out on an Ashes door just because his elbow went. He should have played on. I would have carried on. Don't need muscle and elbow to block the ball. Who have I got on here? Who's talking to me?
It's Haydos and Mark
Junior.
Warrior, mate.
Yeah, I'm here.
Haydos. Haydos. Matthew, you're a disgrace, that player. Whatever happened to opening batsman defending the ball? Sound technique. Dancing down the wicket. First morning of an Ashes series, hitting Craig White for a straight six before lunch. Disgusting. I never watched him bat after that. I used to put up in my head, I'd put Matthew Hoggard onto bowl. LBW. Go on, Aiden. Serves you right. Should have worked on your forward defensive stroke a bit more often. Who else?
Junior. I'm here, boys. I'm here, Junior War.
Oh, now then. He's a nice player. Junior War. He was a good player. 100 on debut at Adelaide, some crunching, glorious he was, cover drives, but I tell you, his brother now, there's a batsman, what a defensive technique. He never got out, he never sold his wicket dearly. Oh, he was lovely, Stephen Waugh, lovely man, never smiled either, so I like that. My sort of bloke on the field.
We've been asked boys some questions.
So you've identified it. You believe you've locked in Jeffrey Boycott?
Oh, yeah, sounds like
we may have known that within the first couple of seconds.
Mm.
But while we've got him here...
What about the English batting in that Lord's Test?
Oh, they're disgusting. I can't believe it. I tell you what, my mother-in-law with a pinny on and a stick of rhubarb is better than this top six. There's only three of them who can bat. Lithe, balanced, root. They play for Yorkshire, don't you know?
Well, balance.
And even though Lithe's averaging five and balance three, they're still better than the other three because they don't play for Yorkshire. So, I don't. What we've done, we've sacked one of them off. Balance, go back for Yorkshire, play some proper cricket, get some form. And we've got Johnny Bairstow now. He can bat because he plays for Yorkshire, that's right. Yeah. So we'll be reet.
Should we even bother cross-checking that he got it right? I think we know he got it right. Here is the real Jeffrey Boycott.
Well, I'm absolutely stunned after all that nonsense you talked about the pitch. You just bowled this ball. It's never touched the pitch. Look, is it straight back at him? Who needs a pitch to get the Englishman out? Unbelievable.
It's exactly the same. It's ridiculous.
That is phenomenal. Swanee, that is your
Swanee.
Best. He's got a regularly feature, I reckon, for this show.
I think he should.
Yeah, Kevin Peterson was on the show last hour. I mean, that was all right. Swanee's
wrong. That wasn't me, though. That was actually Kevin Peterson.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that was Kevin Peterson. Swanee's wrong and back next week on Willow Talk. Coming up, the boys will share their Ashes moments. They've got one each to share with us. Right here at Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. 1-1 in your Ashes series, three more tests to go. It's time for Ashes moments. Why don't we start with Graham Swan in our UK studio? You guys, you know, you've got a bunch of stories. To you, it's just whatever. But the fans love this stuff.
I'm running out of stories.
It's pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, there's eight more weeks of this show.
Run out.
What do you got for us, Swanee?
Well, mine's not a funny one. It's just, for me, it's about the atmosphere that the Ashes creates. And seeing as the Aussies did so well this week, I'll keep mine Aussie-centric, but it was at Brisbane at the start of the 2010 Ashes. Do you remember on that first day, Peter Siddle took a hat-trick late on in the day? We'd started quite well and we're batting quite well throughout the day, and then all of a sudden there was this collapse, and Siddle, I went in after the third wicket, so There's two parts to this story. As the wicket fell to put him on a hat-trick, Stuart Broad, who was next in, was actually completely naked in the changing room, next in to
Matt.
Something
Junior never was.
I wouldn't have thought you'd normally sit naked in the change room during a test match, would you?
No, he was just he just started to gradually get ready to bat, so took his shorts and stuff off, and he was there in the nude, and two wickets fell, boom, boom. He was like, oh, no. So we were literally helping him pull socks and stuff on. And he ran out to the middle. It was out first ball. But I walked out to bat, and I would have been fourth wicket in four balls had I got out. But the noise at the Gabba, and I always remember walking out. It's my first away test match in the Ashes, and I've never heard a louder, like a cauldron going out to bat. And the noise as he ran into bowl, and obviously I played it beautifully, just got forward middle of the bat.
Just smoked it through a gully or what?
No, just blocked it down the wicket, yeah. Backed away 6 inches and blocked it outside my leg stump. But the actual noise, and when he was running into bowl, I've never had a problem with drowning out a crowd noise, but that, all I could think of was, this is incredible. The actual what the Ashes means to so many people. And so that is my very boring
good
Matt Hayden story.
That's a good story.
You know what? It fires you up for the third test, that story. It just reminds you of the fire.
You want another hat trick from an Aussie bowler?
Yeah, maybe four in a row. What's that, a double hat trick? Yeah.
Let me just quickly, you Aussies call this a double hat trick, don't you? 4 in 4. Mm. Which I'd just like to say quickly is the most stupid idea in the world. because I've had this in the changing room with Dave Huss. He goes, no, because from the second we get on, it's another hat trick, mate. I said, okay, so if you get 101, is that a double 100?
Yeah, I agree with Swanee.
Nah, it's a bit silly. Oh, it won't offer
me. We can't really defend that. No, fair play. Haydos, what do you got?
Okay, so Edgbaston Test, it's coming up. And 2005, we can take our memory back to that Test match where Australia really lost its way during the Ashes series. But for mine, it was right at the top of the day, so we were trotting around the ground doing our usual things. McGrath's always carrying on like a complete tool bag. And he ends up stepping back on the board.
On a ball?
On a ball and falling over and twisting his ankle, which meant that the Michael Kasiewicz had to come in at www.lastminute.com in the test match. And our dressing room, I've got to say, for the first time I reckon I've ever seen a dressing room, an Australian dressing room anyway, put it that way, Swanee, there was a few in Northampton that was an absolute schmozzle.
Well, it would have been quiet because Pigeon would have been quiet. Yeah. So,
but it was complete chaos. We had no idea what was going on. McGrath looked as like he'd seen a ghost and was ruled out of the test match. Kasper barely had his shoes on and ready to go. So we were an absolute rabble. But then it continued on for the toss. And there'd been a little bit of weather around Edgbaston, and it's a pretty good wicket usually. And Ricky Ponting went out for the toss, and
well, he would have said to you guys he was thinking about going to bowl, wouldn't he? Before he
I don't reckon anyone talked. It's a standard, as you know, Australian sides. If you think about, you know, whether you're going to bat or bowl, you bat, and usually that's how we play it.
But
right?
Let's be fair, Dink, and there's only two choices: you either bat or you bowl. So you know, there's nothing else can come into it. So you've got to be reasonably.
But in England, you usually bat
ready
right?
to go.
Pretty flat wickets. Yeah, I suppose so. But we're a chaos anyway. Yeah,
nuffies.
So toss goes up. Ricky Ponting wins the toss, decides to bowl. Anyway, news came through of the dressing room, and I was actually having a with Shane Warne out the back.
Well, what was that? What's the whistle? Yeah,
not sure. That's Did you have your clothes on? You like getting them off. Did you have them on?
Oh, what are you talking about? No, you know, clothes now.
Number ones. Great, gotcha.
Okay, number ones, yep. So Warne is absolutely blowing up. He just can't believe, you know, how can you possibly like win the toss and not bat? You know, it's just going off his brain. And of course, Warnie's only thinking about himself because at the end of the day, he was going to win the toss, bat, and then bowl in the second innings and bowl us to victory again, as he usually does in England. But it was absolute schmozzle. And it was probably one of the best test matches I've ever played in, but the worst decision ever had to go right at the start. Firstly, McGrath coming out to warm up, what a ridiculous call. Oh. And then winning the toss and bowling, and we got smashed.
You said it was one of the best test matches you played. You lost, didn't you?
We lost.
You must have got a few runs, did you?
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't. Well, no, it was just real
wrong?
Close.
What's wrong with you?
It was just a close test match, is what I'm saying.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The ball that McGrath actually stood on and tripped and did his ankle, was it an Aussie rules football?
He was trying to catch a rugby union ball, I remember, and in going back to catch the ball, footy, that is, he stepped on it. Yeah, that's it.
Stepped on a cricket
memory.
Ball.
stepped on a cricket ball, fell over the edge of a cricket ball. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and what's your story, Junior?
My story is at Edgbaston as well, given that that's when the next test is. First test of the series in 2001. My story is about Gilly. He comes in at number 7. I think two previous batsmen, might have been Stephen and Damien Martin, both got hundreds as well. And you're thinking, okay, we're into the tail or into the wicketkeeper stroke, then the tail. Gilly peels off 150 odd off about 140 balls. So absolutely magnificent innings. So I think he took, I think Mark Butcher might have been unlucky enough to bowl on over to Gilly. And Butcher with his little medium paces, I think he got hit for about 20, close to 24 off one over. And we went on to win that series 4-1. And this that test match was the catalyst of you know, something special in that series. So, yeah, I just remember Gilly just smoking it to all parts at Edgbaston.
Beautiful. That really, I tell you what, that whets our appetite for more Ashes cricket. Just hearing those stories, we're ready to go for the third test, boys.
It was 1-1. Amazing, Gilly.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Thanks very much to Dizzy Gillespie for joining us earlier in the show as our special guest. Another Willow Talk at this time next week. Mark Waugh, Graham Swan.
Hey, who won that one?
Oh, no, that's just fascinating stories. Oh. He's competitive, isn't he, guys?
Well, I thought we were winning and losing in this is not previous
best. That's not a best
shows.
Story competition. We're just
go
enjoying.
Easy, mate. There's enough pressure as it is.
Yeah. That's the other one.
But just quietly, yours wouldn't have won, Junior.
Oh, no.
And this is Byron. No, we are out of here. Talk to you next week on Willow Talk.